Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and of course, it's an amazingly beautiful day in my consciousness. And you know, it's always that way when I'm with my friends and my co-hosts. Hey!
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. Very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of an online unity ministry. It's a hybrid unity ministry, and we call ourselves the Unity Center for UniversalProsperity.com. And we spell universal, Y-O universal, because it's about you and your spiritual growth and well-being.
Absolutely. And we have lots of things to help you with that. So check out our website. The quick way to get there is ucfyp.com.
And of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find the calendar and my doings, what I'm doing, where I'm going, either virtually or live, as well as the absolute word, which you'll hear at the end of this program. And so, friends, let's get started. We're doing part two from a Medium article entitled Five Terrible Habits That Are Seriously Destroying Your Mental Health and How to Break Them. And the author is Chirag Malik, C-H-I-R-A-G, last name M-A-L-I-K. So in the last program,
And there is a link, excuse me, but there, I wanted to let our listeners know there is a link on our website, our podcast website, to the article, so they'll be able to find it.
Wow, Cher, you're always on top of this. So appreciate that. Woohoo! And so last time we looked at two of them and kind of got into the third one. So today what we're going to do is a quick review of the first two and dive into the three. And all we're going to do is read it and give one actionable thing you can do. So Cher, you want to take it away?
Sure. The first one was, and you'll remember if you listened to last week, you waste a ridiculous amount of time feeling sorry for yourself.
Yes.
And we talked about that in a lot of detail, but it kind of speaks for itself. And the actionable insight that we all thought was kind of interesting is it's a choice. And once you become aware that you're feeling sorry for yourself, make a choice to feel grateful instead. Feel grateful for what you have.
Yeah. And as soon as you're aware, make that switch to gratitude. But you got to be aware first. Bill, you want to do the second one?
The second one is you are expecting immediate results and pretty much expecting those results immediately every time. And of course, that gets old, it wears on you. And that's not necessarily a very good expectation when you think about it, because some things take time. One of the actionable insights is to create realistic expectations. And it takes time, effort, money, and the right belief system to build something that lasts. And folks need to get a handle on that, because that's pretty much the way it is.
Yeah, I really like that one.
I do too, that realistic expectations. And I think we dove into that a bit last week, but that is, again, can't be overemphasized.
You know, the third one here was really good too. I just noticed it again, is that progress rarely goes in a straight line. And you think we're going to go from A to B, but really it's like more like A to Z, and there's little detours. And they say, aim big, but achieve it through setting smaller targets along the way. And of course, we would add, when you reach a target, that's a reason to celebrate.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So Cher, that brings us to you resent other people's success. Well, you don't.
I don't.
You don't. And I don't. And Bill don't. But we, Bill don't. Bill doesn't. So let's go.
Yeah, the truth is we celebrate other people's success.
Yes, we do, which is probably going to be one of the actionable insights that we focus on. But we just started mentioning this one last week, and it's really that one of the issues that people have that get in their own way is when they do resent other people's success. And what he says here is our resentment comes from our deep-rooted insecurities, our own failures in life, and sometimes from our deeply seated aspirations as well. When we see someone succeeding at something we secretly wanted, we feel envy. It may not be visible at first, but it is damaging our mental health. Resentment and envy usually remain concealed, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't realize it remained concealed. And this idea of feeling envious, just resenting the other person, I see now how they go together. And I can think of one friend that's that way. And I have a confession. And I'm at the Fort Lauderdale end of the virtual kitchen table today. And my friends and I have been playing some games. And I noticed I get a little resentment and envy when one of the other people are doing better than me. So I'm not cured of this. And I think that comes from, I can be very competitive. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on there.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm almost weird. It's not the other way, but when in competitive games, I feel bad either way. Like if I'm winning, then I feel bad for other people. And when I'm losing, I feel resentful because I'm not winning. It's like, why am I always the one that's losing? So I can't win with myself sometimes. So I never take games very seriously for that reason.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's one reason we never learned to play bridge. We have played card games with friends a lot, but one game we never learned was bridge because it seemed like everybody we knew that played it hated each other during the time they were playing.
Yes, yes. And the times I played it was very competitive.
Mm-hmm. Very competitive. Yes. You don't tell a story or have a conversation in the middle of a bridge game.
You do not.
I love the quote here. He has Nelson Mandela's quote. And I never knew that Nelson Mandela was the one who said this. I've heard the quote, but I didn't know he was the one who said it, if he was. And the quote is, resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies.
Yeah.
And I've heard that before, that, you know, it's we were hurting ourselves. We're not hurting them.
Yeah, I never knew it was attributed to him either. So that was like opening my eyes a little bit.
And I've got to say, one of the bridges, though, that the three of us pretty much welcome and probably serves as the basis for the three of our works is the bridge from confirmation biases and dogma to reality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's the bridge we all work on.
Which gets you away from unrealistic comparisons. Yes. And resentment and envy because... Yeah. You realize that everybody has great stuff and everybody, including yourself, has difficult times.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed. We're all human. Yes. Duh.
We're human. So divine.
Yes, we're fully human. We're fully divine. So the first actionable insight is focus on cooperation rather than comparing. There will always be someone bigger, better, wealthier, talented, are happier than you. And I'll add prettier.
Yep. I don't know how many people study dance, but Baryshnikov, the great ballet dancer, was just an awesome ballet dancer. And he made the statement, I never compare myself to others. I only compare myself with myself.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good because we do want to constantly be looking for how we get better, but that's comparing us to where we are headed.
I just want to add, that's pretty easy to do when you're best in the world.
Right. But you think about it, as he was getting there, got caught up in being the best in the world, I don't think that was necessarily his goal. It was to be the best he could be, and he did push himself. Quite hard. And there is a story about him that with the ballerinas that if he felt like they were gaining weight, which is a big thing with ballerinas, you have to be pencil thin. When he'd catch them, he'd go, oof. None of the ballerinas wanted to hear the oof when Baryshnikov caught them.
Oh my God. Okay. Want to look at one more of these?
Sure. One more actionable insight.
Yeah.
Even when you reach the top, you will somehow find someone who is better than you in some aspect of life. Instead of competing with them as seeing them as your competitors, see them as your teachers and learn from them. Collaborate with them to reach new heights.
Wow. So that is a really good awareness shift, isn't it?
It is.
To see them as teachers and learn from them and not feel jealous about their success. Right.
Yeah, because there are many different levels and nuances to excellence when you think about it.
Right, right. And then, of course, the third one, change your mindset. Well, that's easier said than done, but you start with awareness. When you catch yourself, you make an effort to change your mindset. And it goes on to say, success is a positive sum game. If someone else is successful, it doesn't imply that you can't be successful. There is a lot of it for everyone.
Yes.
And the other saying is, and we see it a lot today, that something is a zero-sum game, which is one person wins and the other person loses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just saw a quote yesterday. We were looking at quotes for something, and the person said, in non-competitive games, I feel left in.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I thought that was kind of cool.
That's brilliant. Now, this next one, number four, I'll just say I see a lot of. You worry too much about pleasing everyone.
Yes.
And of course, the saying goes, if you're trying to please everyone, you're pleasing no one.
Yes. Yes. And we know, as all of us happen to be ministers, that's one of the issues when you're a minister is, how do you keep it healthy and not try to please everyone? Because you're always going to have people in the congregation that won't be happy.
Always. Because you can't please everyone all the time. The good news, you can't displease everyone all the time.
Right.
Most of the time.
That's why it's so important to be aware of what your focus is, what your goal is, what your mission is. And that goes for you personally as well, which I'm sure we'll get to here. And then make your choices based on that.
Right, exactly. People pleasing is rampant in ministry. That just can't be said enough. And this is why ministers burn out very quickly, because they're trying to be everything to all people and do everything for all people.
That's right.
So this is a very important teaching if you're really in any of the helping professions. But if you're a minister or a licensed teacher, be on the lookout for this.
Yes. So he does describe it here. He says people pleasing is about controlling how others feel. It's a terrible idea, but yet we do it and jeopardize our mental health in the process.
And it's an impossibility.
It absolutely is.
We can't control how other people feel.
No. In fact, he says it's not possible to be liked by everyone, no matter what you do. We don't have the power to control how everyone feels.
We do not.
Well, and I'd like to amend that one just a little bit by saying, while it may be possible to be liked by everyone, it's not probable that you will be liked.
Yes.
That's true.
That's a good tweak.
Yeah.
You know, so we got this realm of infinite possibilities we're always talking about. But most of those are highly improbable,
mm-hmm.
not probable.
And you talk a lot about the adjacent possibilities, Paul.
Yep, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Those adjacent possibilities are the things that you are able to do eventually. But if it's not adjacent, if it's not close to your current belief system, you're not going to be able to do it easily or quickly, or maybe not at all.
And you know, as you're saying that, if some of our listeners are identifying being a people pleaser, that that's something they realize they do, this is a good awareness that it may not be overnight that you can fix this.
Absolutely.
So be willing to give it the energy and effort to fix it a step at a time.
Yeah. So this next thing about this, I wasn't even aware of. If we keep indulging in this toxic habit of pleasing everyone, we will quickly lose sight of what is the right thing to do and always try to do what makes others happy. Because often the right decision, the right path, is the difficult path.
Yes.
Yes.
That's like a wow statement for people to embrace and realize.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
That's where our intuitive wisdom can come in.
Ooh, yes.
Going a little deeper than just, I want to feel good and help everybody feel good. What's the right thing to do?
Yeah. So what are the actionable insights on this one?
Okay. The first one is pick your top five values in your life if you want to live and rank them in accordance from the most important to the least important.
Boy, this is in your backyard, isn't it?
Yeah, we actually do this with our mentoring groups. We do values clarification activities and have them really identify what are those five, and we go through a process where they prioritize them. And then we have them do this next step, stop and think whether you actually live by those values or not.
Yeah. And whether those values go out the window if there's any little temptation.
And if you don't live by those values, they're really not your values.
That's right.
That's right. They're pseudo values.
Pseudo values. That's a good name for it. And the other thing to be aware of that I'd like to throw in here is that sometimes you have two values that are both very important to you. And in a given situation, they could conflict, which is why prioritizing your values is so important.
Yeah. And I wish we could come up with an example of that. I intuitively know that's true. Do you have one?
I actually can give you a really good example. Is if one of your values is professional growth and development in your career, and your other value is family, then those are your top two values, and you're offered a job growth opportunity, but you're going to have to be away from the family for weeks at a time. So your two values are conflicting. Which one has a higher priority? And if you already know that, then it's easier to make the decision. And if you have a family, if family is part of your value, it's important for the family to have that knowledge ahead of time before you ever go into decision making.
Yeah. So I'm not really well trained on polarity theory, but that's kind of a polarity.
It is.
That neither one do you want to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so you have to work out a kind of balance between the two. And sometimes it leans more towards one than to the other, but it's important that both are taken care of.
And that's why doing values clarification on a regular basis, like don't just do it once and stop, do it often, like every couple of years or even every year, do a really clear clarification, because your priorities and even your values do change.
Yep.
Do change. And where job professional growth is important and top priority at one point in your life, at another point, it may not even be on your list.
Yeah. So I think this would be a good point for you to promote yourselves, since this is work you do all the time. So tell our listeners where they can find that on your website.
Okay. If you go to our website under our coaching, we have a little link at the top that says coaching. I think it says coaching opportunities or something like that. And we do mentoring programs as well as one-on-one coaching. And in either of those, one of our big things we do with our mentoring groups, we meet one-on-one and in groups, is values clarification and credo development, which is beliefs, knowing what your beliefs are and why they're important. And that's a critical piece of what we work people through.
And give the people the shortcut to your website.
UCFYP.com.
There you go.
It's coaching is what it says. I should know exactly what it says, but it's pretty obvious.
So the thing is that this is really important work, whether it's your top five values or your credo, it's really important work to do. So if you want to do that work, reach out to Bill and share. Okay. So the next one is people's pleasing habit disconnects us from ourselves and makes us value things that we deep down don't care about. Wow.
Yep. That's big.
So let's move on to number five, Sharon.
Okay, number five very quickly is you are focusing too much on the things you can't control. And that almost summarizes everything else we've talked about.
Yeah, so this is something I really talk about a lot in my classes. It's the question, can you control it or can't you control it? But if you can't control it, can you influence it?
Yes.
But thinking you can control everything is a loser's game.
Yeah, definitely. Real quick actionable insight is remind yourself that there are a lot of things you can't control. And when you feel stressed or overwhelmed by a situation in life, just ask yourself what Paul said. Is there any, what I would change it to say, what about this is under my control?
Yes, yes. Because a lot of people end up beating their heads against the mythical wall, trying to change something. In other words, other people, where they don't have any control over that.
And they do the opposite as well. They refuse to manage things they do have control over. Yeah, things like that.
Say that again, because that's a very subtle thing people don't get.
Yeah, lots of times we don't take control of things that we do are able to manage or control. All we do is whine about it or gripe about it or wish, like people say, I wish I could exercise. I wish I could lose weight. But I always think of that quote, I'd love to lose weight, but I don't want to exercise or change what I eat.
Right. Or you don't want to give up the death by chocolate cake you have every day.
Right. Definitely.
Okay.
The control is our time, which.
Yes.
Is
now that was a pretty good segue there, Cher. So Cher, maybe you should read it.
Let me just remind our listeners is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and it is used with permission, for which we are grateful. The absolute word today is grace, and Paul has written this, but I get to read it.
Yeah.
I offer grace to myself and others. If I am feeling overwhelmed or find myself amid conflict, I don't need to struggle. I remember to be kind and offer grace to myself and others. Grace is manifested from the principles of love, benevolence, and generosity. Grace is goodwill or favor, even when it seems undeserved. Grace is traditionally understood as God's goodwill for the unworthy. When we realize grace is really something we offer to ourselves and others, we are free to lavishly share it. We are all human. We all err from time to time. This is when we offer grace and kindness instead of criticism and punishment. When I offer grace, I am at peace. My thinking is clear, and I possess ample understanding, compassion, and insight. I bring harmony and joy to my relationships. I move forward with renewed confidence, energy, and efficiency. I offer grace to myself and others.
Yeah, amen to that. Hey, that dude wrote that pretty well, didn't he?
He did. It's beautiful.
It's great.
All right. So this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off saying, thank you for listening today.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying, we just love sharing this time with all of you.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And the three of us invite you to be graceful this week.